We would like to thank Karen and Jake Abalevis for sponsoring this morning's Lots and Learn Leila Nishmas, Jake's beloved parents, Eliyahu ben Abba and Leah Bas Avram, and Karen's brother, Yeshua ben Shimon Dov. The neshama should have an aliyah. We would also like to recognize the fact that this is the 100th Perkei Avos Lots and Learn, and because of that, we want to take a moment to both thank Karen and Jake on a more global scale. I did the calculation in my head since Shabbos. Yes, it is 4,000 bagels plus. How many locks is it? It's
a lot.
I need at least a day to do the calculations. But hundreds of pounds of locks, and thank you guys, and we'll keep going. But I also want to thank everybody here because for the most part, some new faces come in and out, but for the majority of you have been here for close to 100 shirim. I don't know if anybody's been here for all 100. We have 95 plus probably category. Maybe we'll give you guys an extra prize. But it's really an amazing thing that for 100 Sundays in the past 2.5 years, you've come out to learn on Sunday morning. So feel good. Congratulations. And let's keep going. So let's jump into Mishnah 10 in chapter 4. This Mishnah, as we learn it, is going to what seems like list a bunch of different random ideas. And it's going to be one of our tasks. There should be extra sheets if you could just pass it around. One of our tasks is going to be to find out what the connections between these ideas are, and as well to think about how these Mishnayos, how this Mishnah in particular and the concepts in this Mishnah relate to previous concepts that we have seen. With that introduction, let us jump in. Rabbi Meir Omer. Rabbi Meir says as follows, and who Rabbi Meir was will play some part in understanding this Mishnah. So Rabbi Meir says, "Hebimemait be'esek v'asok b'torah." Decrease the amount that you spend time in terms of the business that you do, and instead, asok, learn, busy yourself with Torah. That's concept number one. Concept number two, v'have shefal ruach b'fnei kol adam. Be of humble spirit before all people. Number three, that if you neglect to learn Torah, there are many who neglect it as well. We'll have to understand what that means. Doesn't sound like we're saying, feel good, you neglected it, everybody else neglects it, don't worry about it. That's probably not the message, so we'll see the different commentators on that. And then finally, if you study Torah, there is great reward. So some questions that pop into our mind as we just read this Mishnah. So anybody have anything that jumps into their head before I spill what I think is important to think about?
The second one doesn't belong.
Good. Which one of these does not belong? The second concept doesn't seem to belong. The 1, 3, and 4 all have to do with learning Torah and not wasting time doing things that are not learning Torah. Then jump in there, just sandwiched in there, is be humble. What does that have to do with anything? As well, okay, so as well as going to add on to that question, we have, first of all, seen concepts about learning Torah before, the importance of learning Torah. We've seen the importance of not wasting time when it comes to learning Torah. We've also seen the balance. We have had Mishnayos that dealt with the balance between learning and working. So is there an additional message here within what he's supposed to say? As well as we've seen a Mishnah that talks about being humble before. So these are all concepts that we've seen. So why the redundancy, as well as what is being humble have to do with anything in terms of the learning Torah? Does the context, the fact that it's sandwiched within these learning Torah concepts, perhaps help us understand what Rabbi Meir might be adding into our discussion? So in addition to that, we're going to break down basically almost each of these sections of the Mishnah and see various different commentaries and different ways of understanding it, both in terms of the pshat, the simple relative explanation based on the context, as well as some more creative readings of the Mishnah. So let's start with part one in terms of the Mema'et Be'esek Vasok V'Torah, to decrease business and busy yourself with Torah. So first, source number two, the Rashbats gives us the plain understanding, the simple explanation of the Mishnah, as well as some context of who Rabbi Meir was and how that informs what the Mishnah is telling us. So source number two. The Rashbats writes, "V'amar ki adam yesh lo l'ma'et be'esek schora ulasok b'torah." So somebody should, we should decrease the amount that we work, and we should learn instead. K'moshen nizkar b'perek rishon asay torah schakeva. So he helps us out and tells us we've already seen this concept in the first perek, you know, 2 years ago or so. Is make your Torah learning keva, the most permanent or most important aspect of your daily life. And he says, v'sham per shanua, and there we already explained this, so he's not even going to spend so much time explaining this concept, because we've already explained it before. One thing to point out is that what does it mean, both in terms of asei toras chakeva, as well as mimma'et be'esek, to decrease. What do you see within the decrease? Make more time, but what's also implicit within that? What are you also doing? If you are decreasing the amount that you're working in order to learn more Torah, right? But you're still working, right? It doesn't say don't work and learn Torah. It says decrease the amount that you're working and learn Torah. As well as asei toras chakeva, make your learning permanent, doesn't mean when it says permanent, but you still have other things to do as well. It's just in terms of your mindset as well as the time that you're going to invest into these balancing of these two priorities. You should spend more time learning than working. How that fits with the modern day workplace is questionable, but in terms of at least prioritizing, it should be spending more time learning than working, but still working is important. Quickly, because it was a side point. Okay, so good. So go back to look on Y Torah. Go back to that Mishnah that we did, and you'll see the different explanations of Koveya that we looked at. Okay, good. Now, so back in the Rashbats.
What's the Asok Batorah?
Okay, so Asok, as we did last week, could either mean learn or it could mean deal with mitzvos. It could be dealing with anything related to Torah. I'm sort of assuming it means learning, but you're right. It could also mean busy yourself with mitzvos. That can be incorporated as well. Lasok b'divrei Torah as well, same question. Does it mean just learning, or does it mean busying yourself with Torah concepts, Torah mitzvos, Torah actions? It's probably more encompassing than just learning, but in terms of spending your day doing Torah pursuits, however that manifests in your daily life. So now, he tells us a little bit about Rabbi Meir, starting in the end of the first line, beginning of the second line. V'chinaya osehu. Because Rabbi Meir did this as well. Because we have a Gemara in Erevin, Shereba Erevin Beperek Rishon Uvesota as well in Sota Perakai and Notel. Kishabal Lilmo Torah Lifnei Rabbi Shmal. Rabbi Meir went to go learn before Rabbi Shmal. Meir was a Talmud Rabbi Akiva as well. He went to go learn before Rabbi Shmal. Amar lo ma malachtecha. He asked him, "What's your parnasa? What's your job? What's your occupation?" Amar lo lav larni. So he was a sofer. So he, that was how he made money. He was a sofer.
What's your name?
Sofer. He was made Sifrei Kodesh. The Amru B'Medrash Kohelis is a fascinating medrash. Listen to this. So the medrash says, Rabbi Meir haya kasvan tav muvchar v'haba lai tlas sloim b'chol shaba. So Rabbi Meir was a great sofer, and he used to make, let's say, the equivalent of $300 every week. Hava achil v'shasi b'chada. So for $100 he ate and drank. U'mechasi b'chada, he spent another $100 on clothing, sort of the shelter, etc. And he spent the other $100, he gave it to tzedakah, to the rabbis, so they can learn. Okay. His students asked him, what did he not take off in these $300? Forget about taxes, right? Let's assume, right? What didn't he do? He didn't put it into his 401k, he didn't invest into the future, he didn't make a savings account for his children. So the students asked him, Rebbe, Banecha, Ma'at Avid Aleon. What are you going to do about your kids? You're spending all your money. So Amr Lahon, in Havyon Tzadikin, Kahaud Amr David, Lorisi Tzadik, Nezav, Azar, Mavakish, Lachem, if they're Tzadikim, so already know, God's going to take care of them. God's going to take care of them. Vimlav, if they're not Tzadikim, Ma'aniya Chachali, Loi Ve'amakum. Why should I leave money to people who are evil, who are bad? So it's Mimonoshach. It doesn't matter. Either they're going to be fine because God's going to take care of them. And if not, then I don't want to give them my money. Right? And then this is Shlomo says, "Mi yodeya chacham yeh osecha v'yishlo b'chalam ali, v'alkeni amazir l'mayit ba'asik lasek v'torah." So putting this all together, what happened? This is his mindset in life, is I'm going to work to have enough money to support myself, and again, support his children when they're young. That's not what we're talking about. He's saying, but in terms of investing into their future to give them savings. No, I'm going to focus on my now, and I'm going to therefore not work 15-hour work days in order that I have money for retirement or I have money for my children, because at the end of the day, God's going to take care of us, and if not, then they don't deserve it, and that's the end of the story. So it's pretty powerful, it's pretty fascinating. I'm not telling you, practically speaking, what you should do with your money, but Rabbi Meir would probably tell you, make enough money to survive now, and if you have enough money to survive now and to give tzedakah and take care of your needs, then you should start thinking about, can I decrease the amount of work that I put in on a daily basis so I can invest more time in either learning or dealing with Torah concepts. Yeah. Maybe. So that we gotta put that together in a different time. Right. Okay, it's a fair point. Okay, good. So that's how the Tashbetz, the Rashbats, same person, puts it into context of Rabbi Meir's life. Again, take it or leave it with how you want to spend your own money, but I think the idea there is still somewhat relevant. So number three, and just on a practical level, you could spend 10 hours a day. Again, this doesn't necessarily work depending on what your job is, but let's say you have more control of your job. You could spend 10 hours a day and make $1,000. You could spend, or you could spend 9 hours a day and make $900, and the $900 is enough for you to go on and to survive. And you might not be able to go on the biggest vacation. You might not be able to put so much into your savings account, but it's enough for you to get by. Then the answer here, the message of mission is, spend the 9 hours working and then spend that extra hour, even though you would have made an extra $100. Spend that extra hour learning Torah. That's one way of understanding it. Let's go to source number three, the Derech Chaim. So the Maharal writes as follows. He asks a few important questions, some of which we've alluded to already. So he says, "V'mayi ba'esek v'asok v'torah." Zeh ha'maimer hu echad im ha'maimer shelofanav v'utzarach pir. So number one, he points out, and this usually we do, I forgot to mention in the beginning, is we always want to compare what we just read to what we read last week. So what was the mission about last week? Wasn't that long ago? It was about wealth and poverty. Right? Meaning, what did the Mishnah say? Where's your Mishnah? Let's go. I need you on top of your game here. What? Right, so we discussed whether or not it was better to be rich or to be poor, but it said that if you don't have money and you learn Torah, God will reward you with money. If you do have money and you don't learn Torah, then God's going to eventually take that money away, either practically speaking or naturally speaking. We spoke about that last week. So number one is to realize that Mishnah has an impact on this Mishnah. Even the Amar Benel, who we'll see a little bit later, lumps both Mishnayos together and just has one commentary on both Mishnayos because he thinks that they're so similar in concept. And the Maharal tells that to us over here, that this Mishnah is connected, it's one and the same, similar concepts, to the previous Mishnah. So again, so Zeh Maimer Hu Echad Im Ha'Maimer Shelofanav V'Utzarach Pirush, Ki Yesh L'Shol, could ask as follows, end of the first line in source number three, Ma Ba Rabbi Meir L'Hashmianu, what is he coming to teach us? V'chi Lo Yadanu Sheyesh L'Adam L'Mayit Asaka V'Yasuk V'Torah? Do we not know this already? Either A, from the previous Mishnayos that spoke about it, or B, just from logic. Of course God wants us to learn more Torah and not spend so much time making money. Again, make your money that you need for your parnasa, but that's it. After that, prioritize doing Torah work. If I keep working and keep working, then obviously I'm not going to learn. And it's obviously prioritized to learn and to deal with Torah, act with Torah, do tzedakah, chesed, etc. And then the second question, as we already asked, Rabbi Shloni pointed out, why do you, in the middle of one sentence talking about Torah, third sentence talking about Torah, insert a second sentence that has to do with being humble? What's the point here? So now, the Maharal explains as follows, middle of the third line. V'yesh lefarish, debal lomar, Shirotze lomar kilif amim adamimai basakav bishvil hatoreach o bishvil hatzalah. What are we talking about here? We're talking about your motivation. My motivation. Ah, the Torah tells me not to work so hard. Ah, this is perfect. I'm lazy anyway. I love procrastinating. So the Torah told me not to work so hard, so I'm going to wake up late. I'm going to go to a 10 o'clock minyan. I'm going to relax a little bit. I'm going to take an hour to drink my coffee, to read the newspaper. Mimai basak, right? I'm going to, or I don't want to go work, and I'll learn. But why? Because I'm afraid of work. Work makes me anxious. Or I want to avoid it. I want to procrastinate. Not because I love Torah, not because I even like Torah. But it's a good excuse. Somebody will provide for me, and I don't have to worry about the stress of the modern day work life. So the mimai basak bishvil torah, because it's too hard, it's too burdensome. That's why I don't want to work. Or I'm lazy. That's why I don't want to work. If the reason why I'm spending my day learning Torah is because I just don't want to work, then your decrease in work is not because of Torah, and you're not valuing the Torah with your learning. You should decrease your working even if it's not burdensome to you. It even goes so far, I love work. I get a passion for my work. I get an enthusiasm, right? And still decrease the amount that you're working. And even if you can add, even if you're doing great stuff, even if you're doing, you're helping people, that's great. Do it. But still, decrease a little bit, at least a little bit, in order to, afilach yimayim nasak of yasuk b'torah. She'e nira shupona mi'iske ha'olam, mi'may iske ha'olam b'shvil ha'torah, because the reason why you're gonna move away from this worldly things in order to invest into Torah concepts. So that's, and he goes on and elaborates a little bit more. That's enough for now to understand the Maharal. He's telling us that our Mishnah is not telling us anything obvious in terms of the practicality. Of course the Torah would want us to learn more and work less. It's just in terms of, even if you're going to learn more, it has to be for the right reasons. It's not because you want to avoid work, but it's because you love Torah. And even if you love work, still decrease in order to invest into Torah. Now, that's, I think, for now, covers the simple explanation. We're going to do two or three, depending on what the timing, two or three, I think, interesting, I don't want to use the word cute, because cute sounds derogatory, but not cute, I think very interesting readings, but not the classic simple explanation of the Mishnah. So look here at source number four, the Medrash Shmuel. The Lev Avos Kasav have a Mimai Ta'asek Kolomar. Im tiyachacham ba'osek b'torah, al tase al zeh harbe asakim, b'horos b'fnei ha'am, kidei shiyarucha osek b'torah v'lomi. He says, what's the Mishnah talking about? It's talking about somebody who's learning all day. And memayit b'esek doesn't mean decrease work. It means decrease the amount of face time you have in the population, in the community. Don't do things that you're going to be always at the top. You're always going to be looking for people to see you and like, oh, so I'm learning in the front of the shul. I'm making sure that I'm walking back and forth and people know that I'm in the base medrash all day, right? And I'm live streaming my shiurim on Facebook and... Just kidding.
Every Sunday morning.
Because I'm not doing that for me, right? But the point here is that you decrease not asek in learning, but you're asek in what, how you're portraying yourself to the population. So keep reading. What should you do instead? It's Ella Bitsnius. Okay. Decrease your own personality when it comes to your learning of Torah. Okay, good. Right, that's what he says. Ella Bitsnius Gadol. Have a Mimaida Sakim Vaoros Vinchalabin Atzmacha Sokvator. Forget about doing it in front of, just learn by yourself. It's not about the glory, it's not about people respecting you, it's not about people seeing you learn. Mimai ba'esek means decrease the amount of time that you're doing things that make it seem to everybody that you're learning Torah. Do it in private. Again, I don't think that's what the Mishnah means, what Meir meant when he said this, but it's a nice idea nonetheless. The Sfas Emes says another beautiful idea. Source number five. So he says like this, you're working, and you also kovei itim. You're learning from 8 to 9, you're learning daf yomi in the morning, you're learning Tanakh whenever, right? You're learning, and you're working from, let's say you have a 9 to 5 job. That's fine. Mimayit ba'esek means take at least a little bit of that 9 to 5 and dedicate it to Torah. Right? So during your work day, invest a little bit of that time that you have blocked out for work, spend 10 minutes learning a Mishnah. Go over some partial while you're at work. Not if that's going to be considered stealing from your boss, right? This is assuming you're in charge of your own time and you have a lunch hour where you could choose to, you know, check your social media or, you know, make your mind blank for a half hour. Sometimes you gotta relax. But if you can invest some of that time into learning Torah, and ideally if you can make learning Torah into your relaxation, that's what the Mishnah is teaching us according to the Sfas MS. So it's you might be Ezo Shabi for Shem LaTorah, but Gam Shabalosa Yeshu Itim LaTorah. Become Akam Sarach Lamai Dafka my Asek L'Shem Hashem. I have Kovei Itim, I do that, but it's Dafka when I'm working, invest some of that time into learning Torah, and that's Mimayit in the time that you're allowed to work. But spend some of that time learning Torah. We're going to skip source number 6, Mili D'Avos, number 1. If you remember, we haven't done them in a while. It's very hard to read. They haven't, as far as I've found, they haven't reprinted the Sefer. So it's very hard to read the text. It takes some time to go through, as well as it's a totally different explanation. Nice idea if you work through it on your own. Feel free to do it. But he basically, I'll just say it outside, he basically says that Mimayit Ba'esek here means that when you're learning, learn a little bit at a time. Meaning, if you're going to tell yourself that I can't invest the hour, the 2 hours, the 3 hours, the 4 hours into learning a day, so what's the point? I'm not going to amass anything. I'm not going to get anywhere. No, having Mimayit Ba'esek of the Torah, learn a little bit of Torah. Just learn for 5 minutes, learn for 10 minutes. Eventually that amasses. If you remember, we spoke about a similar idea when we did a different Mishnah. It's a hard one. Did a different Mishnah, had a similar concept. If there's so much to learn, but I don't have enough time, I should still learn a little bit. I should still start. Ah, thank you, Roshani. Lo alecham lachalig mor. Right? It is not up to you to finish, but you're not free to not start. So start learning a little bit, and even if you don't finish, that's fine. But that little bit begins to add up and add up and add up, and eventually it amasses two more. Okay, so that's it for part number 1. We're going to transition to part number 2 after we hear from our sponsors. Yes, not our literal sponsors, our Torah sponsors. Say it louder. Well, that's part 2. Where are you going? That's part 2. You're jumping ahead. We're not done. Not done. I still got a whole different Mishnahs to go. Okay, part 2. Yes.
What if you are a Malamed and you already are involved in giving Torah and learning Torah?
Yes.
Do you technically still have the same bias to do before?
I would say yes. Just because for yourself, depends who you're being Malamed. But you know, especially if the age group you're, let's say I know, you know, some teachers, you end up teaching the same thing every year, year after year, right? You're not really, even though you're learning a little bit and you're gaining from your Talmidim, etc., but in addition to that, you should invest time into your own learning. Again, I don't know if that's what he's talking about here per se, but it's probably a good idea nonetheless. Okay, good. Part 2. Yes, quickly. Ela b'tzniut gadol. I think it's modifying the tzniut. Lots of tzniut. That's what I think. Okay, let's keep going. Part 2, be humble. Source number 7. So as we do this, remember, our main question is going to be, what's the message here and how does it tie into the other parts of the Mishnayos, as well as to how it deals with other Mishnayos that we've done that already told us to be humble. So the Rambam writes as follows. Source number 7. Amar. Me'at v'schorah v'shakur ala Torah. So that's the first half. Decrease the amount of merchandise you sell, as well as learn a lot of Torah. V'hayas shafal ruach bifnei kol adam, rotzono lomar. Shalot yeh shafal ruach bifnei agdolim bilvat. So the Rambam is doing a close reading here. It doesn't say shval, it doesn't say heve shval ruach, be humble. It says be humble in front of all people. So what's the emphasis on all people? So Rambam says, don't think that you should only be humble in front of people who are greater than you. The gedolim bilvat, right? You're great, I'm not as great, so I'm humble. No, second line, el bifnei kol adam. Achim teshev im eze adam shetashev yedibur chayla v'chevratcha imo kilu ugado b'ma'ala mimcha. It's a beautiful idea. No matter who you're sitting with, even if in your assessment that you're quote-unquote greater than that person, perhaps that's a mistake to be made as well in that assessment, but practically in terms of your behavior, you should treat that person as at least an equal, but more, even more than that, treat them like they're better than you. And deal with them and talk to them in such a way that's so respectful that they feel like you're treating them with a lot of respect. Okay, so Shval Ruach B'fnei Kol Adam, I don't care who they are and where in society they are somebody that you should respect, not just the people who have the money, not just the people who have a lot of Torah, everybody. And what's the reason for all of this? He finishes off, V'zeh Kulo Livroach Min Agaiva. Because this helps us stay away from any level of arrogance. So when I'm interacting with people and I think, oh, I'm better than you and I can interact better than you, even if I have more money, even if I know more Torah, even if I do more stuff, it doesn't matter. In order to not be a Baal Gaiva, we have to make sure, and I would add, in order to treat people with respect as a value on its own, we should treat everybody with respect. Flip the page. The Bar Tanur gives a different explanation, which ties into another Mishnah. So he says here, source number 8, Avishval Ruach Bifnei Kol Adam, Lilmod Afilu Mimishu Kata Mimcha B'Chachma. To learn from even people who don't know as much as you. And maybe this is provable, that I know more Torah, I know more ideas, I know more than this person in front of me. But still, I'm going to learn from them, and that's what it means, Avishval Ruach Bifnei Kol Adam. Where did we see this before? Ezu chacham halomed mikol adam. Okay, so we've seen this idea before as well. But what did the Bar Tanura just do for us in terms of something that the Rambam didn't really do for us? The Bar Tanura helped us out a little bit in terms of our understanding of the Mishnah. He connected it to Limud Torah. Excellent. So the Bar Tanura, the Rambam's understanding of the Mishnah for the Gaiva part is just a general Gaiva statement. Don't be arrogant. Treat people who are even lower than you with the same respect you would treat somebody who's greater than you. Right? That has nothing to do with the Torah. So then according to the Rambam, we still have the problem. Why does 1, 3, and 4 clauses in the Mishnah deal with Torah and 2 deals with arrogance, humility? According to the Bar Tanura, we already have a little bit of an answer to that. It's that it has to do with learning. That even though I do learn a lot, and you don't learn a lot, there's still something I can learn from you. So it's a learning point in terms of the arrogance, how arrogance fits into learning, and not just an arrogance point on its own. And the Tosos Yom Tov in the next source makes that even more explicit and tells us the difference in how it ties into the previous Mishnah. Could be different girsos, different versions of the previous Mishnah, and different versions of this Mishnah. We're going to leave that for now and just trust him in source number 9. But he basically makes this point that according to the Bar Tanura, it's dealing specifically with Torah concepts. According to the Rambam, it's a broader point, and that might have to do with how they understood the previous Mishnah. Go back to those shirim if you want to get that. Okay, we're going to do this that now. We're not done with this. Two sources. Good. Well, I'm not going to repeat it in case somebody didn't hear it on this side or on the recording because we're about to do it, but Barbara intuited, she intuited a future explanation. Before we get there, let's look at source number 10. Veveshval ruach b'fnei kol adam. The Ruach Chaim says, what does it mean b'fnei kol adam? Why is it highlighting that? So we saw the Rambam, how he dealt with it. But Rav Chaim Belozner gives a different explanation. Ki lefamim adam beino levein atzmo yavin chesrono v'yeh anav. Somebody, when they're alone, just thinking to themselves, knows that they're not so great. Maybe they realize their shortcomings. Then all of a sudden, they get into a discussion with somebody, they get into a social situation, and everything falls by the wayside. Once I start dealing with people, I think about how awesome and amazing I am. Right? So when I'm by myself, maybe I have, maybe we would call low self-esteem, but again, I didn't want to say it because it's not exactly, I wouldn't translate low self-esteem and humility as the same, but when I'm by myself, I know my place. Then all of a sudden, when I start interacting with people, for whatever reason, my personality starts getting arrogant. So that's why it's b'fnei kol adam. Don't just be humble when you're by yourself. Be humble even, especially, I would say it's more important to be humble when you're with others as well. The source number 11, the Merkavas HaMishnah, ties this in. V'gam kin amar havi mimayit ba'esek v'tistapek b'davar muat. So he's going to tie the two parts of the Mishnah together differently. He says the first part tells us, don't work so much. Why not work so much? Be happy with the little bit that you have. You don't need excess. Right? Don't go after excess. Or go after some honors. I have money. People are going to respect me. I can buy this. I can buy that. No, that's not why I do things. So now, if you want to learn how to accomplish part one, which is be comfortable with what you have and don't try to get more and more and more and more, what's the strategy? So the way he's connecting, he's saying that if you want to learn how to be happy with what you have, that's directly connected to being humble. Being happy with what I have and being humble are directly connected. And we can intuit that. We could perhaps write a paragraph explaining how those two are connected. When I have my humility and I'm not wanting or caring about what other people have, or that I'm not worrying and assessing how I am in comparison to other people, then I'm just worried about myself. I'm not worried about you. I'm not worried if I'm better than you. I'm not worried if you're better than me. I'm just happy with what I have. So if you want to learn how to be happy with what you have, work on your gaiva, work on your arrogance, so you can reflect on yourself and not worry about other people. So that's how he connects the two together. And then finally, this is, I believe, Barbara, is what you're referring to. Source number 13, Rabbeinu Bachaye, Mixas HaGaiva V'Nira Kimasha Samach Rabbi Meir Shnei Musarim Elu Zela Zeh. Why are these two ideas connected? Learning Torah, decreasing work, and learning Torah as well as gaiva. It's actually the opposite of what you said. There is somebody who said what you said. I don't think I put it on the sheet. But through learning Torah, the idea is that the Torah can teach you humility. Right? There was somebody else, I don't remember who it was, I didn't put it on the sheet, who said what you said, which was that through learning Torah, you might be in danger of becoming arrogant. Look how great I am, look how much I know. So therefore, we have to go out of our way to say, no, make sure you stay humble. This is sort of the flip, the inverse of the idea, which says that the Torah is not supposed to make you arrogant. Torah is supposed to make you humble. So connecting learning Torah to being humble. Okay, I think they're both true. For some people, learning Torah does incite their arrogance. And for some, learning Torah, especially if you do it in the right way, could instigate humility. Right, so there are a lot of people, the more they learn, the more they realize they don't know. But there are a lot of people, the more they learn, think they know a lot. Right? So it's really an independent midah. The concept of humility is an independent midah. There's some people, when they learn, if they're humble, they realize how much they don't learn. There's some people, when they learn, then they get more arrogant. Okay. So, yeah, quickly.
That's expression. It's a young guy was always disagreeing with his father. Learning,
and he doesn't know nothing. And in 50 years,
by 40 years, he went to college. He says, I am surprised how, for the last years, how my father became learned.
That's for sure. Yes.
Could you comment on number 11?
Yeah, so the last, in number 11, we didn't read it, but the last line in number 11 says, V'gam kein lo tiskai b'torah. So this is a reference to a Gemara in Erevin that says that, again, there's a danger when I learn Torah. Barbara, this might have been somewhat what you're referring to. V'gam lo tiskai b'torah. When I learn Torah, I might become arrogant. And the answer is, lo b'shamayim hi. The pasuk says the Torah is not in heaven. So we generally understand that as not in heaven means that it's practical, it's approachable, we can accomplish it. But the Gemara learns a different, an alternative, additional explanation is lo timse begase rach. The Torah is not in people who think they're in Shemayim, right? The Torah is not in people who think they're so elevated, they're so great. Torah and arrogance don't go together. Okay, good. Last part, part three, bittul Torah. Right, so if you remember, we already have now decreased the amount that you work and learn Torah. And then we have the concept of being humble before everybody we just did. The final part of the Mishnah says, if you're mevatel Torah, you have many betelim, yeshlecha betelim harbe kenegdecha. There are lots of things that will neglect along with you. And then finally it says, imamata betorah yeshlecha schar harbe liten lecha. If you learn a lot of Torah, you work hard in Torah, you get a lot of schar. So let's understand this at least third clause here in terms of the betelim. So look at, just for simplicity's sake, skip to 15. We'll go back to the Barbanel soon. Source number 15 is the Rambam. The Rambam writes as follows. Sheyesham dvarim harbe omdim betelim. There's a lot of things in the world that are ready to sort of take your attention, ready to distract you, ready to get you off track. Yitzdarchu mishi yisasek behem. Somebody's got to take care of them. There's a lot of busy work out there. Somebody's got to do the busy work. Vimlos yisasek betorah. If you don't learn Torah, yasikha be'echad mi'osem advarim. You're going to end up doing the busy work. Right? So there's a lot of work to be had. There's a lot of work to be done. So it depends. If you're just sitting and you're not learning, then somehow you're going to get caught up in something that's really not important. And right, we have, just to give you the muscle here, is famous metaphor parable by Stephen Covey. Stephen Covey says that there's four types of things that we do in life. We have things that are 7 habits of highly effective people. We have four different types of things. You have things that are urgent and important. You have things that are urgent and not important. You have things that are not important but urgent. And you have things that are not important and not urgent. Right? So what we end up generally doing is spending most of our time on the things that are probably not important and not urgent, right? The social media and all that stuff. And we also spend a lot of time doing things that are urgent but not important. Right, and that's really what I think he's referring to here, is that there's always something to do, there's always something to do. And if you took a big step backwards and analyzed how you spent your time, you realized, I didn't really need to spend 2 hours on that, because at the end of the day, it wasn't important and it would have figured itself out anyways. So if I reprioritize, then I cannot spend as much time on that stuff. So what's the stuff that he says that we should be spending most of our time on? It's the important but not urgent.
What's important?
For now, Torah. But all right. So, but for your life, it could be other things. But for now, Torah. Writing that book you always wanted to write, right? That's important, but it's not urgent. And that's why those are the things that we generally push off and don't get done. But he argues that those are the things you should prioritize. The things that are important but not urgent, do those as much as you can. Let's put Torah into that category. It's not urgent per se. If I don't learn now, again, on a theoretical level, it's bad. There's an urgency. But from a practical level, nothing bad immediately is going to happen to me. But it's important, but it's not urgent. So he says, again, so in terms of the metaphor, he says that if you picture yourself, and you might have seen a YouTube video along these lines, is that you have a professor comes into a room, a teacher puts a canister on the desk and puts big rocks, little rocks, and sand next to the desk and has the students try to figure it out, right? So you have to put everything into the canister. And what happens is that if you start with the sand and the small pebbles and you fill that up first, then you, by the time you get to the bigger rocks, they're not going to fit, right? So what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to put the big rocks in first, and then you put the small rocks in, and then you put the sand, and the sand manages to find its way down to the bottom, and everything could fit. And that's really how we spend our time. If we spend all of our time with the sand, the stuff that's not important and not urgent, we're not going to have time for the big stuff anymore. But if you start with the big stuff and you prioritize all of the things that are really important, either urgent and important or not urgent but important, then you'll find time for all this little stuff also. So I think that you can learn that within this mission, what the Rambam's saying, is that if you spend your time dealing with the sand, dealing with the stuff that's not important, not urgent, you're not learning Torah, that's what you're going to spend your time doing. But if you start with the big rocks, then the little stuff will find its way. You don't have to worry about it. It'll get done. And so prioritize learning Torah. Don't get distracted in the small stuff. Go back to the Abarba now. Now source number 14. We're not done. Hold on. Back to the Abarba now. Okay, source number 14. So Lot Nis Kaimabi Adam. He says, Lefishu Rabbi Yonasan, Davar Bishara Torah Ba'omro Shemekayim Oso, Mi Oni Sofa Lekayimah Mi Osher. If you remember before, I told you, the Barbanel is going to link the two Mishnayos together. So in our previous Mishnah, Rabbi Yonasan told us that when I learn Torah, I keep the Torah, uphold the Torah, when I'm poor, eventually I'll end up having money, and Hefech Behefech, and vice versa. Lachain Amar Rabbi Meir Mivar Eich Haya Zeh Be'omri Batalta Minat Torah Yeshcha B'Telem Har. Basically, Rabbi Meir comes along and tells us, if you waste a lot of time with Torah, there's a lot of wasteful things that are going to happen. What does that mean? Rotze Lomar She'im Yisbatal Minat Torah Birtsono Bipnei Sorach Asakav. If you choose to not learn Torah, for whatever reason you want to choose not to learn Torah, Ala bitalahu al derecha onesh yimsau raus rabos bitsaros bitulim rabim. So the Rambam says you're going to be punished. Guys, if you don't want to spend your time learning Torah, just like we learned last week, if you have a lot of money, you don't learn Torah, you're going to be punished and the money's going to get away from you. It's a similar concept here. You have a lot of time and you don't use that time to learn Torah, God's going to take away the time. That at a certain point, you're going to want to learn Torah, or you're going to want to do something else, and you're not going to have time. Because as a punishment for wasting the time, He's going to make sure that you don't have that time to go with. Again, I don't fully understand God's reward and punishment system, but the idea there is the same, is that by wasting time, eventually you're not going to have the time that you're going to want to spend doing things that you enjoy or want to do. So the Barbanel understands it as a punishment coming from God. Rambam understood it more of a natural thing. You're just going to get stuck in doing nothingness and wasting time. Both ideas are basically the same, is that once you start wasting time and you don't learn Torah, then it's just going to unravel and keep going. And that leads us to source 15, a beautiful psychological insight by the Arvei Nachal, who says, forget about necessarily a divine punishment answer, just a basic psychological fact. Source number 15, Shim batal adam minat Torah az mismait cheshko v'gorm shis batal yoter. Once you start not learning, guess what? You're not going to want to learn anymore. That's what happens. Once I stop learning, my desire to learn decreases. Right? And we've seen this before too. Where did we see this? Laser looking 4-2. The guy in the tree? No. That's true, but there's a Mishnah we saw. That's not a Mishnah in Perkei Avos. What's 4-2? Good. Mitzvah, Avera, Gorer, Avera. Excellent, right? When I do a mitzvah, we saw some explanations. The mitzvahs increase mitzvahs, averos increase averos. One of the explanations was this concept, that when I do mitzvah, it creates a passion and it creates a momentum and I want to keep doing more and more and more. When I start doing averos, then it creates a distance and I want to keep distancing myself. Again, it's a natural consequence of doing averos. So once I start bittul, and we all know this, once you procrastinate a little bit, it spirals. And it's very hard to get out of it. Let's finish up here with Let's skip the Meiri. Let's just do source number 17. The Shem Olam. This is the Chafetz Chaim. And we'll close with this. So the Chafetz Chaim writes as follows. He first quotes a concept. There wasn't enough room on the page, so I had to cut some stuff out. But he first deals with the concept of what you're supposed to be doing on Shabbos. And one of the things he says on Shabbos, you're supposed to learn Torah because you have more time on Shabbos. You're not working, so you should be learning Torah. And he says something fascinating. He says, "Ke'ein zeh shamati b'shem sefer toldos Yoshua sheperish madi isa ba'avos." When it says in Avos, "Im batalta min haTorah yeshcha b'telem harbe kinegdecha." If you waste time, don't learn Torah, there's a lot of betelim that comes along with it. And imamalta b'torah, you get a lot of reward. As the Mishnah finishes off, if I learn a lot of Torah, if I work hard, I get rewarded for that. So rotze lomar, imbatalta be'es shiyesh lecha p'nai. If when you had time, again, you can work, you have to work, but if when you had time, you wasted it, az yispu'u mimcha od al yeser azmanim shibatalta kidei lahasik havle azman achrei shenira ba'alil shloya kabanascha klal l'chvod Hashem yisparach. He says, God knows we have to work. God knows we have to spend time eating. God knows we have to sleep. And God knows we have to do all these things that are not learning Torah. But if, when I do those things, I do them l'shem shamayim. And he started off in the previous paragraph that everything we should do should be l'shem shamayim. B'chol drachecha da'eh, which we saw in a different Mishnah. Right? That kol ma'asecha yu l'shem shamayim. Everything you should do for the sake of heaven. So if I eat and I drink and I work and I do that all for the sake of heaven, then he says all of that gets rewarded. That's all spiritual. That's all divinely stamped and approved. But there's a test case here. Because what happens when you have free time? So I can't go and say I do everything for you, God. Everything. My 8-hour workday, my 10-hour workday is for you. My sleeping, my eating, my going, everything's for you. And then when I have free time, I waste it. Doesn't work that way. You have free time, you learn. By learning, you prove that everything you did otherwise is because you want to do it for God. But if you don't, and you waste that time, that proves that everything else that you did, you now don't get rewarded for as spiritual. That's not a spiritual pursuit anymore. You did that for yourself. So again, read this back inside. Rotze Lomar, third line at the end. In batalta be'esh yesh l'panai lecha panai, when you have time and you don't use it, as yispu mimcha od al yeser azmanim shebatalta kidei lahasik havle azman. Then we're going to take the there's more betela now. You've just earned more wasting time, meaning the time you already spent that you were trying to convince God you're doing for His sake. That's not for my sake. That was for your sake. It was lahasik havle azman. You just proved that you're not working to serve me, you're working to play games on your phone. That's what you're doing. So now you can't count that as serving me. But if you learned when you had the free time, now you get a ton of reward. Why? Everything else you did, all that quote-unquote things that could either be understood as wasting time or could be understood as serving God, by learning you prove that it's serving God. By wasting your time, you prove that it's not serving God. So now along that choice that you have at that moment is either going to take everything you did previously and make it betalim l'cha harbe, more batel, or it's going to get you more reward. So it's your choice. Think about it. When you have that free moment, are you going to pick up a sefer? Are you going to listen to a shir? Or are you going to do something else? And the second you listen to the shir, the second you do a mitzvah, you're proving that everything else is, everything's for you, God. Everything I do is for you. Yes, that's a powerful message, a scary message, but one hopefully can empower us to try to make a little bit of extra good choices. That when we have those free moments to turn on the shir, when we have those free moments to do a mitzvah, because then we get a lot of reward that comes along with that, that we were doing anyway, we might as well just take advantage of it. And we will close with words of wisdom from Pola. Yes. Not as an obligation, but as a choice. Yes, women and men, both. I think in contemporary times, there is, especially with an idea like this, there's no difference, right? So we all have our responsibilities, and however the household figures out their distribution of responsibilities between men and women, who's cooking, who's working, maybe it's the men who's cooking and the woman who's working, it doesn't matter, however we figure that out. The second you have that free time from whatever you're doing and you turn to a mitzvah, whether that's learning or davening or saying Tehillim, that shows that everything else you were doing was for the sake of Hashem. Yes.
Second
So again, so I think that's it's a broader question. The answer is, I think it depends on the family. It depends on is the person learning for the right reasons? Is the person a skilled learner? Is the person wasting time when they're learning? These are all factors, as well as, does the wife want to literally do this, and is he taking care of, it has to be a shared joint decision made out of happiness and dedication from both of them. And then I think it's up to them to decide. It's up to their in-laws to decide if they want to sponsor them or not. So everything needs to be taken into consideration. That's not really what our mission is talking about. Our mission is talking about that ideally we should all be working to some extent in order to support a family, to support ourselves, and then we should spend that extra time making sure that we spend the free time we have or add time into our day to make sure that we spend time being Osek B'Torah. So we might be Osek B'Torah. Okay, to be continued, Shir 101 next week.